Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this week's episode of What the Health Just Happened. We talk about all things healthcare, community, business, and life. The goods, the bads, the ups and downs, the lefts, the rights, and everything in between. Sometimes we get some cool guests on, I think. If you don't think so, that's okay. Just don't listen. Except you, Mom. Please keep listening because I love you.
Today,
we love you, Mom. All the moms. Today's guest I've known for 10 plus years?
I think so.
How long? At least 10.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We'll get there, right? CrossFit days, exercise days. This guy is an expert in a lot of things. Troy Delaney. I got to read these titles real quick. Senior Management Consultant with Mayo Clinic. Want to hit that. Health, Longevity, and Performance Coach. Most important stuff. Husband, father, and someone I like to call a friend. Can I call you a friend?
You can call Troy! Me a friend, absolutely. Yes.
I don't know. Is it? I think some Mayo talk matters, right? Some Lockheed Martin talks matters, but to me it's XPT, longevity, wellness, this space that has just exploded in the last 2 to 3 years, I think since COVID, that he's been, I'm telling you, this guy's been talking about this stuff for a decade since I've known you. So,
right.
Troy, welcome. Can we clap? Am I the only clapper?
Right.
You can clap for yourself.
Thank you. All right,
that's a wrap, guys. Let's call it a show.
Yeah, we're done. Great show.
It's good to be here.
Where you want to start? Serious or not serious?
Let's go not serious then.
Not serious.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're currently working at Mayo.
Right.
Doing project management. This dude is smart. I need to understand this. So Six Sigma, Lean Six Sigma.
Right.
You're a black belt.
Black belt, yeah.
Not a karate, like if you and I had a karate fight black belt.
No martial arts
background. Do you guys know anything about Lean Six Sigma?
No
idea. Does it mean you can beat us up?
With his brain.
Oh.
With his brain.
Okay.
So I want to start there. Like people, what does that mean? What is Lean Six Sigma?
Right. So actually, I learned about this when I was working for Lockheed Martin. And this started in 2005, I think, is when I started with Lockheed. And I was with them for 14 years. And through that, I became a green belt, which is kind of entry level to Lean Six Sigma. And then I became a black belt, which is, and then there's a master black belt. Never made it that far. But what it is in the operations industry, it's about optimizing a process and getting the best quality product out of that process. So Lean is all about maximizing the quality of that product, and Six Sigma is all about maximizing the product, that quality of the product, and then Lean is all about making it as efficient as possible. So that's kind of the high level overview of being a black belt, is really optimizing processes.
So you have, I'm going to call out Cox Media Group here, by the way. You have 30 employees doing the job that 7 or 8 people could do in the same place. How do you create efficiencies and...
Yeah, exactly. We're looking at how can you, what parts of the process add value and what parts of the process are waste?
Does sometimes that involve like a transition to AI in certain cases? Like this could just be an automated...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's a big part. Obviously, that's blown up now. Yeah. Is AI, what can AI do and how can we automate certain steps of the process? That's a huge part of it. Yeah, absolutely.
So Lockheed Martin, that's a
defense
brewery.
Contract.
That's the brewery that makes beers now. I'm kidding. Everyone knows who Lockheed Martin is.
Like, right.
What were you, 14 years?
Yes, I was with them for 14 years doing Lean Six Sigma black belt stuff. When I was doing it in Jacksonville, I was driving up to Kings Bay, which was about an hour commute. So 2 hours round trip every day.
From Jacksonville.
From Jacksonville, ooh, yeah.
I used
was
to do that.
Was that efficient? No.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Exactly.
Use your black belt to fix that.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that was it took a toll on me.
Yeah.
And while I was doing that, I was working out at CrossFit. So I would wake up at 4
CF
in the morning.
Jacks, we love plugs, by
yeah,
the way.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's where we
Jacks.
Met. CrossFit Jacks.
Yep.
Mayport. Again, I spent a lot of time there. Megan and
awesome
Chris
coaches,
Russell.
Yes, yeah.
Incredible. Been doing it a long time, but that's
right.
So you were working out there, driving an hour to
so,
and from.
So yeah, I would get up at 4 in the morning, go to the class at, I don't know if it was 5 or 6, and then drive up to Kings Bay and then drive another hour back. Yeah. So that's 2 hours of commuting, and it just wore on me. You know, after 9 years of that, I worked at in Orlando and Sunnyvale, California as well, but 9 years in Jacksonville. And then I found out that Mayo Clinic also had a Lean Six Sigma black belt opening. So that's kind of how I got into Mayo Clinic.
14 years at Lockheed Martin. That's cool. Commuting for, you did 9 years of commuting?
Yes.
So I was a firefighter commuting an hour and a half to 2 hours every third day for a little less than 5 years. It destroyed me, man.
Yeah.
The travel destroyed me. Also, you did CrossFit for an hour at 5 in the morning and then drove an hour?
So that's what I was thinking. That drive back, you have to be exhausted.
The thing about exercise is it really does give you energy. But, the drive back.
Because you were up so early.
Right. The drive there wasn't bad. It was because you kind of think about what you have to do that day. And I felt, I was pretty energized after the workout. But then on the drive back, it was just like, I just want to get home.
Yeah.
I just want to get home.
Were you like smashing coffee? My version that after 24 hours, I'd have like 10 cups of coffee on that drive home just to make it home to fall asleep. So your drive back.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It was tons of coffee and it was not healthy. And it was just,
hashtag not healthy.
Yeah. We'll get to that. Yeah. It was not in line with my lifestyle and where I wanted to be. And then, so finding out about Mayo, which was literally 15 minutes down the road, it was a complete life changing, move because now I was literally commuting for about 15, 20 minutes and not an hour.
How long have you been with Mayo?
8 years now.
Jeez.
So,
how old are you?
44.
Let's 44. Go. I'm saying I'm 41. This guy, we're going to get to this animal here.
But my biological age is 40. So I've actually slowed down the process of aging, which we can get into more.
We're talking about all this stuff. Look, every blood test, every
Daniel Davis and then this guy?
Yeah, correct.
I had someone tell me my body age.
What was it?
It's like 76.
How old are you?
I'm 32.
Yeah, this guy's about an age.
He gave me like a panic attack. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, but you got young kids. Like you're in it, man.
In that. Like I can never find time to do anything just because.
He's going to fix that today.
We'll talk about that.
I do have a question. This is such a random question.
We love random questions.
Does that CrossFit use you in their promo photo for Facebook? Because I get hit with that promo photo all the time and I thought you looked familiar. And then when you said that,
for CF Jax?
Yes.
We got to ask Megan and Chris.
I don't think
that.
So. I don't know.
I hope so.
I'd love to see that.
Look at this stuff.
I would love to see that.
I live like right next to it, so I get peppered with that advertisement on Facebook.
We're going to talk a lot about health and I cannot emphasize. We'll talk about our relationship, how we met, working out stories. I just laugh. You've been into products and exercise the health and wellness space for a long time, right?
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about ice baths, sauna, which you've been talking about for a long time, which is now it's gotten very popular the last 2 to 3 years. So you had mentioned, was it Lockheed Martin, Mayo specifically? When did you just start drinking this Kool-Aid of, you said it, like it affected how you worked out, what mattered, how you took care of yourself?
Right.
When did that start?
That started even before Lockheed. I mean, that was college. I was pretty into getting, exercising and stuff like that. But I think what changed it is when I had just moved back to Florida from California, this was 2006.
That's a long time ago.
Yeah, 2006. Sorry. Yeah, it was a long time ago. Just thinking about it. But I had a friend of mine was telling me about the paleo diet and the book was called Paleo Diet for Athletes, and I was going to do a race. So someone had recommended this book to me, and I read it, and it kind of made sense to me. So I was like, you know what? I'll give it a try for 30 days, see what happens. So I did the paleo diet, which is really cutting out a lot of processed foods. That's basically what
it is. Every diet now. Just don't eat processed
foods. You just eat whole foods. That's pretty much what it is. I mean, it's no grains and no dairy, but big thing is just whole foods. So I did that for 30 days, and I got a six-pack. I had never seen a six-pack before myself. I could not believe how ripped I got in 30 days from doing this. And I was like, there's something to this. Like, there's something to, what you're eating and how you're exercising.
Same exercise regimen, but change your diet. Bam.
That was That's all I did. I mean, I was in shape, but I didn't have a six-pack at the time.
Yeah, you were in shape, just a little more round than chiseled.
Exactly. Yeah. Pear shape. It was more of a pear shape.
What do you got?
Were you a drinker at all or no? No drinking?
I mean, I drink a little bit, but not. It was maybe once a week or something like that.
Asking for a friend.
If you're asking for alcoholics that we know, no, Troy is not one of those, which we could talk about too. Now, all the research coming out on alcohol is hysterical. So
yeah,
the biggest thing was painting a picture. Like, this dude is smart. Right. Again, I'm not saying you're not smart, Trey. I'm kind of an idiot, and I enjoy hanging out with Troy because he's smarter than I am. Business wise, the fitness, health, wellness space, unbelievable, man, for a decade now.
Could you, going back to the Lockheed Martin, can you give us an example of a project that you worked on and some of the flaws that you were able to kind of expose and then fix?
Yeah. So it's mainly looking at like manufacturing. A manufacturing process. Okay. So looking at how many times does a product go back and forth between someone, and how many times do they have to redo work, and how many times do they have to transport? Because there's basically 8 forms of waste. So you're looking at all 8 forms of waste and seeing, you know, how can we remove that from the process? So in Kings Bay, you know, we built missiles there. So we worked on the manufacturing of that. So we constantly looked at the process and looking at how can we make this more efficient? How can we build a better product every time? So that's kind of what we do, is like map out step by step what the process looks like. And then we identify where's the waste in this process, and what can we do to remove this waste and add value within every step of the process.
We might have to edit that out, because I think,
why?
Lockheed Martin and missiles, man. Oh, yeah. People listen to this, man. They'll put a hit out on us. You can't share this stuff. That's cool. Business applies.
And I was kind of curious. Do you feel like that mindset helps you when you then transition to the fitness side of things? Because it's a very similar thing. Get out of the waste and only have the beneficial in that case food. You know.
Right. It's like you set that up for me. Because
you weren't in here. He's like, Justin. Hey, I want to use Lockheed Martin to transition to this.
No, because that's exactly kind of my biggest takeaway, was really looking at just life in general. What adds value to your life, and where's the waste at in your life, and how can you remove that and focus on all the value add activities. And that's kind of what really got me into health too, is because if you're trying to get the most out of your body and most out of your mind, you have to eliminate anything that's going to take away from that. Mm-hmm. So that's a big, it was crazy to be able to apply something that I learned on a manufacturing floor to life in general, and looking at how can we look at my life and improve it by adding more value to the life and taking away any waste in there.
Can you say it's like 2 or 3 things immediately, like, yep, cutting this out. Yep. Making this more efficient.
Yeah, so a big thing is just eliminating processed food. And then I think, how can you make things more efficient? I should talk about my morning walk. So my morning walk involves, I carry a 65-pound bag, a GORUCK bag. Okay. So shout out to GORUCK. You got, Eric's got his right here.
We love shout outs, by the way. We'll talk about GORUCK too. Cool. Like, I never learned about GORUCKing in general. This is a local company too, but. Go ahead.
So, I take a 45-minute walk. I'm walking my dog. I'm getting morning sun. I'm getting exercise. And, you know, benefits of rucking, you're getting a strength training workout and a cardiovascular workout. And you're burning more calories. So carrying that weight.
Walking your dog.
Walking my dog.
Do you want another dog? Because I hate my dog, by the way. Just sorry.
No, I'm good with, I have one dog, and it's a perfect dog, and I wouldn't want another one at this time. So, So you're getting morning sunlight, which is super important for sleep and a bunch of other things. So, I mean, you're knocking so much out, and I love doing these stacks where you're stacking as much as you can to get the most out of that. So just building that up into your routine. So, I mean, that's a perfect example of how I've kind of optimized my walk.
Probably getting your mental space right too, right? Just you, the dog, 45 minutes. I don't know. Are you got AirPods in, or are you just taking in nature?
That's the thing. Yeah. Just enjoying nature most of the time. Sometimes I'll listen to a podcast. Sometimes I'll listen to, you know, with the health. And
it was the same.
Right. Zoning out. What the hell?
I love
the
show. No.
Catches every Saturday.
I love it.
There's been a couple times I'm trying to get into a routine too. Morning walks are tough for me, but for a variety of reasons. But I see you sometimes walking through the hood, and there's so many things that this guy brought up years ago in the neighborhood we live in, and rucking was one of them. Literally, like, I was like, what is rucking? And it's just literally putting weight in a backpack and walking, and the the benefits of that, go ahead, Trey.
Oh, yeah. Okay. What is the average time frame you would tell someone that it takes to get into a routine, particularly like one that you're doing? Maybe not as intense, but like if someone were like, man, Troy, like this isn't going to be my routine. How long would you tell them it takes?
I would say, well, if you're trying to do something, I would say just do something for 5 minutes. The whole point is you do what you can that you can't say no to. So if it's 5 minutes, if you can do 5 minutes outside and get that morning sunlight, you've already changed the way that you're going to sleep that night. So take the smallest step, the step that you can't really say no to. This is just like, we'll talk more about it, but getting that like an ice bath. What's the minimum effective dose that you can do to just get exposed to it and get into that, and then be consistent, and then you add on to that.
Have you read Atomic Habits by James Clear?
Yes.
We've read all the same books.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Outlive by Peter. Like, name a book, we probably read the same ones. But that's right. So habit stacking, that's right. A big one. Make it simple and then start with minimal effective dose. Okay. Mayo's awesome. We love mayo. A lot of good stuff for the community.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Working on some cool stuff behind the scenes. Can't quite talk about yet. Can't wait. You'll come back eventually.
Absolutely, yeah.
Some of this stuff's announced. Like, dude, this guy... We met at CrossFit. I remember I was doing, man, I drank the CrossFit Kool-Aid long time. Oh,
and you were a stud too.
I was an animal.
You can push yourself hard. Like, I could not go as hard as you. You were going all out.
But the first time I met you is I had this transition to morning workouts, which I really struggle with. And then we lived in the same neighborhood here in Jacksonville. You were walking. I think I was painting an American flag or something.
Probably.
We saw each other and I was like, Troy, Eric. Yeah, right?
Was it HOA approved?
Nothing I do is HOA approved. Don't get me started on
that. Oh, man,
HOA.
We could go all out on the HOA.
We've got a bunch of people running for the board. We're not talking about HOAs. Not healthy.
Yeah.
And again, my kids are now 9, 8, 6. Yours are younger, but my sons were 3 and 4. And we started trying to, like, how do we work out together? I think community is huge. That's one thing I miss about that CrossFit environment.
Yeah.
We started working out together. I don't know if you remember doing squat presses with my kids.
Yes.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Your kids obviously too are in it for a long time. So how important are community and group workouts? The walks are great. The rucking's great solo. But like, how important is working out with a friend and camaraderie?
Yeah, that's probably a top, two or three things that anyone should be focused on is the relationships, the community that you develop. If we start talking about longevity, you look at all the blue zones that where people are living over 100, it's always about community. So, I mean, if you can find your little tribe and connect with people, I mean, that's one of the biggest things you can do for your health in general is just connect with people. They're finding even like, Alzheimer's increased, your risk of Alzheimer's is increased if you are alone most of the time. So, I mean, it's huge. It's a big deal. And however you can incorporate that into your life, you should be.
Blue Zones has exploded again in popularity. They just had a Netflix documentary, is it Dan Buettner?
Dan
Buettner. So they started a Blue Zones project here in Jacksonville.
Right.
Which, again, this guy's been talking about for a decade.
Right.
But the community part, I think, is incredibly underrated. You need, even if it's one person, if I'm like, hey, Troy, we're committing to working out 3 days a week at this time, if I don't show up, I feel guilty, right?
Right.
But if I show up and we do it together, I feel like I'm like, all right, let's go. I push a little harder. So go ahead.
That's one of the biggest things with CrossFit is that community. I mean, you have people pushing you. You have people that are waiting for you to come that day and know that you're going to be there. And just really all the people that you work out with, I mean, they all look forward to it. So, I mean, it's really their strong point is really getting people together and that have that are all like-minded.
You still work out, right, Trey?
I do, and I've tried to do CrossFit, and it kicks my butt. I love the competitive aspect of it.
That helps.
My biggest problem is like most of the dudes that you roll up in there. I'm like, I can't compete with that guy. Jeez.
That's the one. I've never done like group fitness ever. I've always just kind of like soloed or had a buddy that I would go with, but never like a CrossFit or any of the other ones that are out there.
This is not a plug for CrossFit, by the way. There are parts that I think it's all of it. Like the biggest thing is scaling accordingly, right?
Right.
Squat. squat. Yeah. Squat with no weights.
Yeah.
Like if I squat with X amount of weight and you can't, like you squat without that
just
weight.
Just do it. Yeah.
And it's just, again, the competition aspect. I love competition drives and motivates people, whether you realize it or not. If right. Troy's running, he's a little bit ahead of me. I'm like, crap, I got to run a little
yeah.
harder.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Until I'm like, I can't keep up. Let him go ahead. Again, I love the community aspect. The competition's fun. Think of like, I miss competitive sports.
Right.
It almost reminds me of like fraternity vibes where you're
don't
basically
turn
a family.
Into a frat bro, man.
Well, no, I'm not even just saying that, but just like the camaraderie that the right. CrossFitters bring to the table amongst all of them. Having their kids there, all that kind of
right.
stuff is cool.
It's like a family. It really mm-hmm. is.
Diet is huge for you.
Yeah.
Right? What's the longest fast you've ever done?
I've done a six day water fast. I won't do water fast anymore, but I've done that before.
I want to know at what point were you like, this is awful? What did you never feel that way?
No. Usually the first two to three days are pretty bad. Like yeah. you're constantly hungry, but then you recognize that hunger comes and goes. It comes in waves and then it's gone. And then your body starts becoming fat adapted. So it's actually using your body fat as fuel. Mm. So the hunger, it still comes in waves, but it's not as bad the third and fourth day.
No six pack then?
No, after that you have a six pack. Oh yeah,
shredded, we talked about the six pack earlier. I'm like,
for 6 days.
Oh yeah,
you do a three day fast, and all of a sudden I'm like, man, I trimmed out here.
Right.
6 days.
6 days. Yeah.
You're having electrolytes the whole time, right?
Yeah.
Does that include bone broth or just?
That's just water and salt usually.
What's the new fad with the bone broth? Is it? What was the? It was like. Rogan or some of them did it, right? Like there
this
was
this guy again. Everything that's talked about now, Troy probably did 8 to 10 years ago. Just so you know,
right, right,
or has information and research.
Like the butter in your coffee. I did that back when it before I think people were even doing it. But
you weird.
The bone broth thing. So is that you're talking about? What else can you do with bone broth besides drinking it?
It was it was essentially you fast, but the. But after bone broth.
Right,
like
right.
Protein bone broth. There was a specific one that was like cleaner than the others, I guess.
Right, right. Yeah, I think that's probably more marketing. That's trying to sell their bone broth brand.
Yeah, it worked.
How much time are you left?
3 minutes.
Okay, a couple minutes here because I like the back half here. To me, it's like XPT. I love saying my wife thinks I'm crazy, but it works.
Yes.
That website up and running?
Yeah, that's troydelaney.com. But my wife said I should name my blog. My wife thinks I'm crazy, but it works. And it's just because, I mean, I've been dabbling in this stuff for a while, and I always tried something and kind of report back and say whether it worked or not.
That's what I want to know. What are you working on right now that you think will be the fad in 10, 15 years?
Yeah, man, that's a good question. What is a.
I think XPT, and again, the ice and sauna stuff, yeah. but rotating, we'll get to some of the science behind that and why rotating that, which again, you've been doing for a while. We talked about XPT, 5 years ago?
Yeah, yeah. No, it was actually 6 years ago because I got certified as a coach 5 years ago.
Homemade ice bath. This guy bought a deep,
right.
A freezer that he built his own ice. This is 6 years ago, man.
Yeah.
So you just lay the freezer down, or you just got
to... So I started with a stock tub. So you get that big black stock tub that, I guess you use to feed animals. And you fill that up with ice and water. And then that got a little expensive. So I was like, well, what can I do to make something more permanent? So I ended up converting a chest freezer into a cold plunge.
Years ago.
Yeah.
I actually have a video posted on YouTube on how I did it. And I was surprised about how many views it's gotten. But, it's just like how I built this chest freezer into an ice bath.
Oh, my least favorite part. We're almost out of time in the first half. That's all good. Troy Delaney with Works at Maya. We're going to talk about XPT, longevity, wellness expert. Can we say that yet or no? Like, do you have to check it?
I don't think I'd ever be an expert, but...
None of us are experts.
No.
Man, the first half goes too fast. That's what the hell just happened. All right, welcome back to the second half of What the Hell Just Happened. If you're just joining us here on the radio and you missed the first half, good news is you can catch the first half on your favorite podcast platform under What the Hell Just Happened. Oh my gosh, we're going to do some breath work. I just got out of breath saying that. We got my friend here, Troy Delaney. He works with Mayo currently, Lean Six Sigma Black Belt. I'm karate chopping if you don't see the video. We talked about some health and wellness stuff. This guy... has been doing all the things you see and read and hear about for a long time. He's kind of an animal too, man. He's ripped, dude. We talked about age. So Justin over here, you're how old?
32.
And your age that someone told you is?
72.
That's not
He doesn't
good,
look
man.
That way,
he
though.
He does not, by the way.
No, what Troy- was it? One of the shows we had, what did they call it? Skinny Fat?
I think
think that's what I'm dealing with right now.
So Troy, who's also, we're going to talk a lot about XPT Jacks, XPT specifically, and then XPT Jacks. You have these weekend seminars and workouts. We've been working out for a long time. First legitimate ice bath I ever did was with this guy, the most humbling 3 minutes of my entire life. Yeah, anyways, catch the first half on your favorite podcast. If you're on the podcast, sorry for hearing all that word vomiting of what happened the first half. Healthy or not healthy? You ready?
Let's do it.
Yeah. Healthy or not healthy, HOAs.
Oh, that's definitely not healthy.
Not healthy. Healthy or not healthy, my faces the first time I got into an ice bath.
We should share that picture. That was great.
I smiled intentionally, but if you got the right. 2 minutes and 59 seconds before that.
You looked healthy.
Healthy or not healthy, CrossFit.
Healthy, for sure.
Healthy or not healthy, six-day fasts?
I would say not healthy, probably.
Okay. I thought I'd get all healthies here. Healthy or not healthy, working out with your kids?
Absolutely healthy.
Healthy or not healthy, all the other dads in our neighborhood that see you running with your shirt off?
That's healthy.
Not healthy, man. Every dad texts me like, "Who is this?"
Yeah. I'm kidding.
I text him every time. I'm like, "Put your shirt on. You're embarrassing us."
The moms are like, "Hey."
Healthy or not healthy, getting a free sauna after running a Spartan race?
Oh, that's for sure healthy. Yeah.
That was a cool story. We'll talk about that in a second. Yep. Healthy or not healthy, Mayo Hospital's construction.
Boy, that's a good one. Probably unhealthy for how long it takes. Yeah.
Long-term,
healthy, yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, the amount of expansion they're doing and the stuff that they're doing is incredible.
So XPT, we're going to hit in a second before I do the last healthy or not healthy. Their tagline is, where did I put it? I love this. Breathe, move, recover.
They've expanded that. Breathe, move, recover, connect, and fuel.
Oh, so that's new. Breathe, move, recover, connect,
yes,
and fuel. So I got to write this down. I'm writing notes here. So breath work, healthy or not healthy, breath work.
That's absolutely healthy.
Breathing,
if you do it right,
is so important to the point. You got a breath routine we're going to do here for a minute?
Yeah, let's
let it rip.
So what we're going to do is a quick breath routine that you can do at any time. And this is basically a way to calm your nervous system and lower anxiety or anything like that. So what it's called is the physiological sigh. So you're going to breathe in for about four or five seconds, and then you're going to take another inhale to really fill up those lungs and do that through your nose, and then we're going to do an exhale through the mouth for 8 seconds.
I want to say this back. So 5 second count, breathing in through the nose.
Yes.
And then one deep breath.
Yep.
You got to count this down. We're going to do it.
Yeah, right. You want me to look at the clock I got running?
No, he's
got this.
He's a teacher.
Okay. And then we breathe out for how long?
8 seconds. Slowly. So, and it's going to be like you're breathing through a straw.
Okay.
All right?
Not like,
yes.
I know these. I do this stuff all the time, but go ahead.
Yeah. All right. So let's breathe in. 1, 2, 3, 4. And then breathe in again real deep. Fill up and then exhale. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Okay. Inhale again through the nose. 2, 3, 4, 5. Deep inhale. And then exhale. Slowly release that. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. One more time. In through the nose. 2, 3, 4, 5. Deep inhale. There you go. And exhale slow. Let it release. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Does everyone feel calmer now?
Yeah.
I'm focusing on my breathing.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you
Aaron
go.
Just passed out in the corner, man.
Yeah, that's like a breathe in. I didn't exhale enough. I definitely
breath work. You talk about things that are underrated. Yeah. Sleep, I think, is incredibly underrated. Diet, underrated. Breathing, which again,
breathing,
you're using your diaphragm. Are you nasal breathing? Which we'll talk about. Breath work matters.
Right.
The stuff that he's doing, these weekend seminars, we're going to talk about for sure. Breath work's a big deal.
Think about it. You breathe 20,000 times a day. You take 20,000 breaths a day. So you're either doing that wrong or right. And if you're doing it wrong, just think what it can do to your health. If you're doing it right, think about what it can do to your health.
And how many people would you say are breathing wrong?
Most people breathe wrong. Yeah. Yep.
What qualifies breathing wrong?
So if you're constantly breathing through your mouth, that's breathing wrong. You should be breathing through your nose pretty much the majority of the time. So if you're a mouth breather,
you said it too. Oh, crap, we said it
well,
twice.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, I do try to do, when I run, I try to breathe through my nose, but I don't do a very good job of it.
Yeah.
You should be breathing through your mouth when you're like peak capacity, where you're really maxing out with your breath, with your exercise. Other than that, it should be nose. And there's a lot of reasons why. And one of the biggest reasons is it's really calming your nervous system. So when you're constantly mouth breathing, you're constantly activating your nervous system to say you're in flight or fight mode.
I did not know that.
Do you know what fight or flight mode is?
See.
Everybody does, correct? Nobody does. You'll catch yourself too, like sleeping too. It's training yourself. They have mouth tape now. It's a big deal. All these trendy things that mm-hmm. Troy's been doing for 10 years, but.
Oh, yeah.
Nasal breathing, box breathing is a big one.
Yep.
All that stuff.
What's box breathing?
Well, box breathing is just one method of breathing. So it's there's four corners to a breath. There's the inhale, there's the hold, there's the exhale, and there's the hold. So when you're doing box breathing, it's four even corners or four even sides. So you're doing 4 seconds inhale, 4 second inhale, 4 second hold, 4 second exhale, 4 second hold. That's another good one for kind of calming the nervous system.
Do you find people get like uncomfortable when they breathe correctly, like because they're so not used to doing it right? Like, they're like, this doesn't feel normal, because especially with breath, like if it's like that, people can kind of get a little like, oh my gosh, I can't breathe, or I'm not, you know, getting enough oxygen at that point.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if it's something new and you're not used to it, you can definitely notice a difference, and it can be uncomfortable. And that's part of the reason why we do this stuff in XBT, is really to get comfortable with being uncomfortable. So getting used to that, the comfort of breathing through your nose, is a big deal. A lot of the stuff we do when we do our breath work routines and the breath exploration during the workshops, you're doing it laying down, just so you can feel safe. You know, if you did pass out, which no one's ever passed out before.
Not
if you
yet.
Did,
not yet.
What the hell just happened, boys? Show up.
Yeah. But you do it in a safe environment, and you get used to doing that. So it's just a matter of getting used to the, you know, feeling uncomfortable at first, but.
To emphasize that question, right, is that do you find it uncomfortable or different? Do you run for fun?
I used to, yes.
So right now, if you ran 3 miles, would that feel weird, uncomfortable, and awkward?
Definitely wouldn't feel great, yeah.
Yeah, it's the same. Yeah. I mean, again, breath, it's less physically exhausting, but you notice when I do. I'll check myself doing breath work in the office sometimes, like, oh my gosh, I've clearly been breathing out of my mouth all day and sitting slouched at a computer, but
right.
Does it? Out of curiosity, for someone that might have like asthma or breathing impairments, is it as important, if not more important, to learn these kind of breathing techniques to like either work through a potential, you know, not asthma attack, because I know how those can go because I have asthma myself, but like those situations where anxiety or getting worked up can sometimes make it worse.
Right. No, that's exactly the kind of the point of learning how to breathe properly, is to apply the right breath at the right time. So if you do feel something coming up, whether it's anxiety or asthma or something like that, can you take control of that before mm-hmm. it even happens? Mm-hmm. And you can, by calming your nervous system.
Do you ever use this breathing strategy when your kids drive you insane, asking for
all
a friend?
The time? And that's the biggest. I mean, any time that you're feeling stressed or anything like that, yeah, absolutely. When the kids are driving you crazy, that's the time where you just step back, take a couple deep breaths, and then refocus so that you don't overreact.
So instead of screaming and yelling,
I say through your nose, not your mouth. Yeah. If you do the fight or flight, then it might even make it worse.
We love dad talk too, because we're all dads, as are you.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's dive into XPT here, which stands for Extreme Performance Training.
Right.
Someone named Laird Hamilton and Gabby Reese are co-founders.
Right.
Laird Hamilton, growing up, like, dude, do you know who Laird Hamilton is?
Okay, I know of these names. Call me crazy. I don't really know.
You will once I mention it. Yeah. Laird Hamilton is a professional big wave surfer for decades. Like every giant wave video you've seen, like Laird Hamilton started that, right?
Right.
You're talking about intense, life or death situation. Gabby Reese was a professional volleyball player. She hosted America's Funniest Home Videos for a while, I think.
Yeah.
Both, again, especially in the health and wellness space. I think, I don't know if they still live in Hawaii or not. So
they have a house in Hawaii and a house in California.
Not trying to put your business out there, Laird and Gabby. By the way, if you XPT wants to sponsor the show, feel free.
Shout out.
Or at least flash it. No, I'm kidding. So you discover this when we were in our kind of workout path. It was originally Breathe, Move, Recover. Now it's Connect and Fuel, which I think we'll get to in a second. Right. But those things matter. We talk about CrossFit for years. It's like move, 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 lift, lift, lift. Diet matters. You're lifting heavy stuff. This thing is the breath work matters. Move, just move. The walk, the maybe it is lifting weights. Maybe it's not, but playing basketball, soccer, et cetera. And then recovery was the most underrated thing. I think COVID changed all this. You talk about the ice bath and sauna stuff. They've been talking about this for a long time. Professional athletes do it. They host events in Costa Rica, Hawaii, three-day seminars. Did you go to one?
I haven't been to one, no. I've only gone to their coaching certification.
So,
but it's on my list.
Yeah, well, again, if we talk about them enough, maybe they'll see this, maybe they won't. And, you know, we'll film an episode out there. If not, one day we'll go. Right. So you discovered this. You were playing with it. You got certified. What's the certification process of being an XPT coach?
Right. Well, I do want to note that, so Laird Hamilton's in his 50s, and he's still surfing like 50, 60-foot waves. So he's in incredible shape. And talk about longevity. I mean, they've got this nailed down.
Do you have a computer? I would Google. I think he might be close to 60, man. He is an animal.
Yeah.
For at least 40 years, like just...
Oh, yeah, he's pretty jacked.
60 years old, right? So and again, what's his biological age? Probably 35.
Right.
And again, Gabby Reese, who was a professional athlete for decades, but cool story. I'd recommend researching it. So certification, what's that process look like?
Well, yeah, so this came about when I was actually at CrossFit, and I was talking about doing some type of recovery workshop. And... we were thinking about how can I get certified in something that is recovery related, and I came across XPT because their big focus is recovery, and found out that they had a coaching certification. So I flew out to California, went through their 3-day certification. A big thing behind XPT is research. Everything is research based. Like their breathing techniques are research based. The way the sauna and cold plunge protocols are research based. So very research focused. So I went out there for 3 days. I went through a 3-day long seminar on all the pool workouts too, which we can talk about.
Yes.
And how to use the sauna and cold plunge properly. What are the protocols for, you know, what you're trying to accomplish? And same thing with breath work. What are the different breath work routines, and when would you use different ones? And then also the pool workouts where you're using dumbbells in the pool.
How did I forget about this? So again, we just have years of stories together in our neighborhood. I don't want to call them out, even though the board sucks. Yeah, you, the Woods HOA. I'm kidding. Can we edit that out?
Just kidding. No edits.
We would go to the pool. He'd get these workouts. You talk about movement. It's not lifting heavy weights and squatting heavy weights. You grab dumbbells. You go in a pool and you're working on breath work underwater and you're moving.
Right.
And it just doesn't beat your body up. We do a 45 minute workout. I was toast. But then afterwards, an hour later, I didn't feel like dead. So the pool workouts, again, how you got some?
Well, when you had me look up Laird, one of the first pictures on his Instagram was him in the pool with a dumbbell.
See?
And I was I wonder what he's doing there. And now you
look, professional athletes, I'm telling you, NBA is a big one right now. It reminds me, I got to set up an introduction with UNF. I want to see if we can't put their basketball team through one of these seminars to do that recovery stuff.
Right.
I shouldn't have mentioned that now. We'll get offline on that. But okay, so certification took 3 days, and it took you some time to start these seminars.
Yep.
Right? You just started this recently. You had your homemade ice bath, the bin, you were buying ice.
Right.
Sauna stuff. I think of sauna wrestling. In high school, I'd sit in a sauna with a plastic bag on my body, which is not healthy. Right. Talk about the fire and ice side to me, which has now exploded in popularity.
Right. So, yeah, so they have the breathe, the different breath works, the different breathing exercises, and they have the move, which is the pool workouts, which really focus on low impact exercises. So you're in the pool, it's not going to beat you up. And you're actually applying the breath work that you that you've learned in the pool, and you learn how to use those different breath holds and stuff like that. And then you go to recover, which is the sauna and ice, and you're combining the two, which is contrast therapy. So you're going from basically you're going from the Sahara Desert to 210 degrees, 220 degree temperature into the cold plunge, which is 38 degrees. Sometimes colder than that. Sometimes we'll dump a couple bags of ice in there too to get it colder.
Not me.
But I mean, and you do that three times. And there's a lot of benefits to it. But the biggest thing is really that mental barrier that you go through when you don't want to get in there, and you get in and you just feel amazing after. So and there's a recovery aspect to it too.
So you wrote, again, it used to be called fire and ice. You're going from extreme temperatures to extreme cold, all in a controlled, healthy environment. What's the span you're sitting in the sauna?
So you're in the sauna for 15 to 20 minutes. And this is a thing that's important is there's different types of saunas. There's infrared saunas and there's traditional saunas. Infrared saunas they usually get up to about 130, 140. And they have their own benefits. But if you look at like most of the health benefit research from sauna is on traditional saunas, and you're looking at least 175 degrees. So you need it hotter. And then when you're doing the contrast, you're getting out of an ice bath, getting into 130 degree sauna is not going to be sufficient. So you have to get into a hot sauna. So you have to, when you're doing that, you want to think about what kind of sauna you're actually using, whether it's a traditional or a infrared.
So in theory, you're wanting to go from the most extreme to the most extreme. You want to go from the coldest to the warmest you can possibly kind of provide.
When we say extreme, it's not like,
well,
like,
yeah, you're
scary.
Not catching yourself on fire. Correct. But yeah.
Right. Right. And there is a break in between. So what we typically do is you get out of the sauna, you wait about a minute or two just to kind of get your body adapted, and then you get in the cold plunge.
How long is the cold plunge session?
So around 34 to 38 degrees, and you're doing that for 2 to 3 minutes.
Guys, look, I know everyone's nervous. No, oh my gosh. No. You know why? Because it's hard. It's tough, yeah. It's hard. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Neighbor Ryan's done it. I think Jen's doing it too. But to me, let's stick on that one, the fire and ice side, the contrast therapy. How do you feel for the next 3 days afterwards?
Well, that's the thing is everyone asks, why do you do it? And I almost get in the ice bath every morning, and I don't look forward to ever going to that ice. It's not pleasant. It's uncomfortable, and I get through it. But it's what you experience after. That's where the magic is. Really, is you get out of that and you feel amazing. I mean, I feel so focused. I feel so much more energized. My mood is better, and it reduces inflammation, so it's better for recovery. It's just all around. You just feel much better after, and that it lasts. It could last a couple of days. Sometimes.
Sleep that night too.
Right.
Yeah.
What's the closest that you've gotten to that feeling without doing an ice bath? Like an environment that kind of got you close to that feeling?
That's a tough question.
That is a tough one. Only because my brother-in-law does them all the time, and he's like, dude, just the way I feel. And I'm like, I would just love to know an example.
I know mine.
What?
When Florida State won the national championship a couple years ago.
Fair enough. All right, everyone ice bath.
When the Jags win the Super Bowl. Yeah,
no, that's a tough question.
It is. It's an experience that you just from any like super joyous event.
The only time I've felt it was when I went skydiving. Skydiving where the adrenaline is just through the roof. That's the only thing I compare it through. Maybe like a roller coaster that you were terrified to go through at a very minimal like...
It's different. We talk about the fight or flight system.
Yeah.
Right? When you do that, your adrenaline just spikes.
Yeah.
This is a similar. Again, this is not. I'm not scientific here. He's done all the research. It's a different. It's a spike, but it's different.
Kind.
And
yeah.
it's a healthier version of that spike.
Mm-hmm. It's actually dopamine that's being spiked, and that's kind of the motivating. Usually associated with motivation and stuff, and that's the neurotransmitter that's being spiked, and that lasts for hours. Mm-hmm. So you get that high for hours. And they've actually found that it's equivalent to like getting high on cocaine. Like you get that much of
sign me up.
Of a high.
That's a bad joke.
It just lasts longer.
Bad joke.
It just lasts longer. Oh, yeah. Gosh.
terrible joke. Not healthy.
Hey, if it gets him in the bath, whatever.
Look, I, again, I, this, this, we, for years, right? Working out, then on and off and on. I was thrilled. You're like, let's figure this out. Get you on here.
Right.
XPT, which started by Laird Hamilton, Gabby Reese. You got certified XPT Jax. He's the only one certified in Jacksonville. Seminars, how often?
Yeah.
Y'all check this out. Trust me. I'm not saying this. Like, we're going to.
Oh, we'll
I'm
do
bringing
it.
You guys out there one of these days. We'll bring cameras out. It'll change your life.
There's nothing like it in Jacksonville. There's nothing like it probably in northern Florida. And it's such a unique experience. So what we do is we do about an hour of rucking, carrying that weight. And that's kind of when we do a meet and greet and kind of get to know everyone. So I have I only open it up to about six people every workshop. So it's very limited. And we do a ruck where we get to know each other. And again, this is building in that community aspect to it. So we do that. I talk about the benefits of rucking, why I do it every day. And then we get into the breath work where we're doing different breathing. I kind of go over different breathing exercises, teach you when to use different ones. And then we do some breathing exploration where you're trying the different ones in a safe environment. We're doing breath holds, which, again, that's another uncomfortable thing. But you can get a lot of health benefits from doing different types of breath holds. So we do go through the breath exploration. Then we go into the pool workout, and we do different types of pool workouts with dumbbells in the pool. And that's applying what you learned about the breath holds in the pool. So how do you overcome that mental barrier that's saying, I need to breathe. And you can actually overcome that. And that kind of applies to anything. Like, you can overcome things when you mentally prepare for it. So that's the biggest thing, is you're learning how to do how to be controlled in a stressful situation in a controlled environment, so that when something unexpected happens and you're in a chaotic state, you know exactly what to do because you've been training for this all the time.
My wife's going to want me to do that because anytime I get a little stressed out, I get a little loud.
Right.
So pool work, right? This is a 6-hour seminar, right?
Yeah. So it's five to 6 hours.
Ruck, breath work, pool workout.
And then we do the three rounds of the fire and ice. And so I go through the benefits of that. And then we go through doing the sauna for 15, 20 minutes. You get in the cold plunge, and then you do three rounds of that. And then after that, we'll do a little debrief. And you'll take things home that you've never learned before. And it really is life-changing. I think, I always have at least one person that comes out of it saying, you know, I've never thought about breath this way, and I've been able to apply this in my life.
My neighbor, I'll give a shout-out to my neighbor Ryan, him immediately, right? You just met him. It changed his life.
Dang it.
We're out of time. Got to mention this again. XPT Jax. How often are you doing these? How do people find out about it?
So,
how do they sign up?
So go to xptjax.com. I have a workshop. I do workshops once a month at the last Saturday of every month. I do have other shorter workshops where we'll do either a pool and a sauna and ice workout, or a pool and sauna and ice. So just depending on, those are shorter 2-hour things. But the full workshop, the 5-hour workshop, 5 to 6 hour workshop, is every once a month. So you go to xptjax.com. If you are interested, you can use friend50 for $50 off. So if anyone's interested, just for your listeners.
And reach out to me too. But sure. Man, dang it, we're out of time. Troy Delaney works at Mayo full time, does this pretty cool stuff, XPT Jax on the side. Six Sigma black belts. I'm kidding, man. I had a blast. That's what the hell just happened.
Thanks for having me.